What beautiful words that we can sing, it is well with my soul. Heavenly Father, as we come again on this beautiful day, in this place, may we come with open minds and expectant hearts to be challenged, to be taught, to be encouraged in our daily walk of faith. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We use so many different expressions in life. I wonder where each of these expressions came from. So I don't know where this particular expression had its roots, but apparently God loves a trier. Have you heard that expression? God loves a trier. And I suppose that could be interpreted two different ways. It could be interpreted in a very positive way. God loves to see us try new things. God loves a trier. Or probably most likely, it's the second of the two things, kind of in a sort of shake of the head, sympathetic sort of way, about someone who tries but might not be very good at a particular thing. God loves a trier. In truth, we probably all fall into both of those categories, don't we? We try new things. It's good to try new things in life. We try things that, despite our best efforts, well, we learn that we might best be suited to doing something else. Personally, I love to try, within reason I have to say, new things, stretching and challenging myself. And one of the things that I've been trying over these last number of months is to learn some basic car maintenance. To learn how to do a service on the car, to change the oil, to change the oil filter, the fuel filter and the air filter. I enjoy the challenge of working with my hands particularly. I don't do very much of that. But on Thursday evening, I have to admit that I might have drifted into the second category of doing some maintenance on the car, because I attempted to change my brake pads. And I watched and watched and watched YouTube videos. I got the right parts, got the right tools, and off I went to work. Now, I should say, the story doesn't end with me crashing into the wall at the rectory, okay? The car is outside, so that should give you some sort of clue that ultimately things worked out all right. But I went to work, managed to get the tyres and the caliper off, got the brake pads out. And then when I tried to put the caliper bolts back in, I ran into a bit of a problem. The thread in one of the caliper bolt holes came out, which meant that the bolt was just turning. I hadn't got a clue what to do. There was the car jacked up, and I just sat frustrated, not knowing what to do. God loves a trier. But I picked up the phone, and I rang someone in the parish who I knew could help me, and they came out, and they had a look at the car. They very kindly reassured me. They told me that the problem could happen to anyone, just one of those things. And they helped me get the right part to sort the problem out. Healy coils, I've learned about this week. And it helped sort the problem. Put a thread back in, replace the discs and the brakes, and the car is sitting outside, thankfully repaired and ready to go for a while longer. God loves a trier. So why do I share that story? Well, the real point of the story is we come to the last of the one another passages. It's not to be afraid to try new things. That's how you learn. I enjoy that. But it's this. I knew that I could ask someone for help. I knew that at the end of the phone was someone who was more skilled than I, who would come and help me learn and fix the problem. And today's one another passage comes from chapter 12 of Paul's letter to the Romans. And for me, it encapsulates that opening story. It's the ultimate picture of what the church and a church community for me can and should be like. So as always, can I encourage us to turn to the weekly sheets or to the Pew Bibles and to follow along the passage as I pick out a few things from Romans 12. This, in fact, is the second one another passage that we've looked at from the book of Romans. And as we heard last time, Paul is writing to a group of believers in Rome And basically, he is teaching them and encouraging them to live their lives as committed followers of Jesus. So it's a very earth book, even though it contains some deep theological teaching. And as we pick up in verse 3 of Romans 12, Paul, if you want, is leveling the playing field. He is reminding the folk then, and so by extension and application, reminding us now that within the church, within the body of Christ, all are equal. And we should see and treat each other as equal. Sadly, sometimes we don't see that demonstrated. Within churches, people sometimes are seen as lesser. We don't want them. They're not our kind. But that is counterintuitive to the gospel and to this passage. All are equal. And as we come along, we'll see why they are equal. There's a little phrase that pops out. But Paul writes this in verse 3. He says, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." And if we just skip verse 4 for a moment, for me, Paul clarifies what he means by equal. And he uses two words that could easily be skipped over. So if you turn to verse 5 in Romans 12, you will see those two words. So, and what's the next two words? In Christ. So, in Christ. And so much comes and springs from these two leveling words. In Christ, compared to Christ if you want, we know that we are all sinners. That's what the Bible teaches. When we compare ourselves to Christ, we know that we are all sinners. That's a leveler. But we also know that in Christ, by faith in Christ, we can be and are forgiven. That's a leveler at the foot of the cross. So those two words are incredibly important when it comes to equality within the church. In Christ. In Christ. And it's on this premise of in Christ that Paul builds the image of the church. Verse 4 and 5. If you're following along with me onwards. And he uses a very accessible picture of the church to help us identify with what the church is and should be. And then it finishes with today's one another principle. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to one another. In many ways, these verses are self-explanatory, so I won't dwell on them too much. But basically what it says us, the human body is made up of many individual parts, yet they belong to the same body and make an important contribution to the body as a whole. And the same, says Paul, is true of the church. It's made up of many different people, many different parts, who come together equally in Christ to form the body of Christ with Jesus at its head. And where each member belongs to one another. Sometimes in different versions it talks about in each other, but it's the same principle. And we'll come back to that in a moment, but finishing the passage, verse 6 to 8, one of the ways that we live out our faith, we live out being part of a community, is recognizing that there are many gifts within the body, within the church, and treating each contribution as equally important. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So as we drill down a little bit and try to apply Paul's one another words, what does it mean when we hear that we are members that belong to one another? In our own minds, what are the kind of words and images and pictures and thoughts that are tripping off as we say we belong members to one another? Well, as I've said over these last 9 weeks in sermons, and I'm sorry for being repetitive, but once again, this speaks to me about relationships. It speaks to me about commitment. It speaks to me about togetherness. It speaks to me about a common identity. For me, one of the great strengths of the church, whether they are big churches or whether they are small communities like ours, it's the opportunity for community. for developing a deeper relationship with each other and with God through word, deed and action, where we know what it means to be members belonging to one another. And as I personally reflect on that one another principle, as I think about what my own passions and motivations are as the rector of this parish, been here nearly 12 years, I'm struck with a deep passion how important these one another principles are within a church community. I am struck with a deep passion and motivation that they're not just to be up in the air principles, not just something that we engage with in our heads, but they are something that come deep from within our hearts. Each is attainable. Each reflects how God sees us. So in our context, being members of one another, how does that work out? Well, we know that we are part of this parish. We know and we live out that we are committed to each other in this place. But we are also part of something bigger than ourselves, the Virginia Group of Parishes, all together, four churches serving one God. That sense of relationship, of community across this part of the world. We also know we are part of the body of Christ worldwide, members belonging to one another. That sense of belonging, of family. And as we apply that, I guess my vision is that we as a people who make up these churches and as a group of parishes would have that deep sense of community and commitment to each other. That we as a group of parishes would love one another, reflecting back over these 9 weeks. That we would in real ways encourage one another, forgive one another, live in harmony with one another. Where we in all, according to our gifts, have the opportunity to serve God and serve one another. Where we greet one another with joy and affection. Where we pray for one another. That we would be a place and a church and a group of parishes where everyone is equally welcome. Where in Christ, everyone is equally loved and equally valued. A place where in sorrow and in joy, in need, where we can talk and share our lives with each other, where we can text each other, where we can pick up the phone and know someone on the other end will be there to journey with us in our difficulty until things are better. That as we think about of being members one to another in Christ, we know that we can rely on each other, that we can trust each other, that we can most importantly know that this is a place where we can grow in faith together, where we can know what it is to be a follower of Jesus in an individual and in a church way, so that we can know what it means to live out our faith daily. Members belonging to one another. So as I close this one another series, as we journey from this place together as a church, as a group of parishes, I wonder, is that the kind of one another vision that we can all get behind, and most importantly do that to God's honour in this place? What does it mean for us as we think about all those one another principles, but especially today's one, that we are members belonging to one another? Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, at the very heart of your message is a message of relationship and love, a message of commitment, the commitment that you have to us, the commitment that you have to call us into a deep and personal relationship with you, and a commitment that we reflect to each other of grace and love. As we leave these one another principles, may we not draw a line under them, but may we allow them to enter into our hearts, into our lives, into this church community, so that as we, your people in this time and in this place, we may know what it is to be part of a one another community, where we show care, love, commitment, forgiveness, and all of those other things to each other, where we know that we are never alone, but we know that as family we journey together with you at our heart and at our head. And I pray all of this in the one who is the head of this and all our churches, Jesus Christ, Lord and Saviour. Amen.